Welcome back to the Billionaire Brain. And this episode is entitled The Billionaire Brain Behind the Billion Dollar AI Engine. Now, AI for me has been always something that feels like people have been quite slow to adopt it, especially in the founders market. And AI is creating one of the biggest wealth opportunities for our generation. So I feel like it's a very positive asset. But long before things like ChatGPT came into our lives and AI became kind of a mainstream, today's guest was actually helping build that infrastructure that made it possible. So I'm really excited to welcome Matt Domo. And he was the founding GM of the AWS database division. So that was all to do with helping establish what actually became the billion dollar category, laying the foundations, the power that much of today's AI's revolution is actually built on. So today, Matt and I are going to be exploring how to spot transformational opportunities before everyone else, what founders can learn from building billion-dollar industries, and where the next wave of wealth creation is actually hiding. So, Matt, welcome to the Billionaire Brain. Thank you for joining me, and congratulations on your new book. What's the title?
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Pleasure to meet with you. The new book is called Everyone Wins: A Business Leader's Mission Possible Guide to AI Success.
Fabulous. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about when cloud computing was still considered, very much a gamble. What did you see that everyone else missed?
That's a great question. When we started to look at the benefits and of Amazon scaling, it was going through hypergrowth not at the beginning and not even where we are now. And we found that automation of infrastructure, automation of deploying software and on up the stack was critically important to economic scale. And then we started to look at, okay, at that time, the IT person would cost the infrastructure, hardware, all that. And the CFO was placed in the position of having to guess, what are we going to be, 5 years from now? Because it was about CapEx and smooth progression and keeping a consistent margin, and those things melded together, painted a picture. And so we started to look of, is there a way that we could make it simple, easy, frictionless, reliable, and take some of the burden off of people? So infrastructure was one of the cost levers. It was also a time lever. Can we offload that and make it easy so people could focus on what matters? Catering to their customers, building great features, delighting their employees, and expediting the ability to move quickly. And it turned out to be right.
So, did you know at the time just how big the opportunity would actually become?
I'd be lying to you if I said it, I did. We knew it would become big, and we knew we weren't the only ones.
Okay. I
So
think
we knew that Microsoft was competing, my former employer. I worked there 14 years, over 14 years previously. We knew Google was doing things. So we knew we had to move fast. We had to be deliberate, and we wanted to be first because everybody remembers first. And that those were monikers of what we wanted to do. And then we had methodologies that helped us, pick up the signal and learn.
I think what's interesting is when we always look at this podcast, the difference between sort of visionaries and spectators, and most people need proof before they actually act. And I think maybe the fact that you had competition in the market, that you had to act and progress a lot quicker and a lot faster, and maybe test some things that weren't necessarily proven at the time to get to it. So you've recently spoken about this billion dollar AI engine. I saw a couple of your podcasts in the past. So for anyone hearing that phrase for the first time, what does it actually mean? So when we talk about a billion-dollar AI engine.
Yeah, here, I'm going to frame this in terms of Windows because I think that's going to make a difference. You know, for the better part of the last 2 decades, I've had a front row seat to two previous Windows. And now this one. So there was the birth of client server and the Windows platform, and that opened a window of opportunity to change the way applications moving from the desktop to take advantage of the internet, etc. The next window was cloud. And so how can we make it simple, easy, frictionless, pay only for what you use, and expedite the ability to pull forward innovation that your capital expenditures could have hid? This window is bigger and has more opportunity, but it's going to close much faster than the other ones. And the difference, to your point earlier, most people see an opportunity and they want to wait for the perfect moment. It doesn't exist. And so those that are forward-looking and take advantage of this experiment and tie it to business goals, we can go into all this, have a methodology in the book, in 18 months are going to create a moat others can't catch. That's why I'm saying this window is going to close faster than the others.
And I love that because I think people can relate to it. I mean, especially founders, people are always waiting for the perfection. There is no perfection. It's kind of start, scale, do it, and learn on the way. So a lot of founders focus on like the tools and the tactics, and very few are kind of thinking around infrastructure and systems and opportunities. They're not leaning into what's maybe being created underneath them. So when we think about your billion-dollar opportunity and what that looks like, how do you see AI playing out for founders right now, people who are building their own businesses?
Yeah, you talked about one part, which is AI and data and some of these other intelligent technologies are foundational assets, right? That was one, that was your one of your key signals. The other is, once this is in place and successful, have we architected the business, our culture, our operating models, and our workflows to take advantage of it? If you try to operate the old way with these things and just use new tech, you're going to miss the window. And I'll give you an example. Look, what a lot of things with AI around automation and efficiency, and there is some of that and there's value to it, and we can go on it, especially in the employee experience. But the true unlock is to be able to look ahead and peek around corners. Let me give you an example. Sentiment analysis of your customers. You're seeing churn in the business. Right now, we know the pandemic pulled forward and you've got some silos because we had to, website, chat, app. But across them, there are signals that your customer isn't happy. They're logging in less, their sessions are shorter. The volume of calls and temperament of what's expressed in those calls has increased. Those are leading indicators that you need to dive in. And what can we do to make Dawn and her team more happy or resolve issues they're having with the application? Having a dive and save team after I've canceled, high stress, high cost, low outcome. So, why not build a system, use the technology we've described, and distill the leading indicator patterns, and then build a regimen across them at every touch point in the journey that I reach out and I proactively interact with the client and basically have, how's the weather today? And then along the way, you know, we use personalization. And a lot of people think personalization is a marketing checkbox, you know, like that Amazon experience. That's not it. Personalization, people want you to feel like you understand them and that you're working with them, not that you're processing them. And so that's where some of these elements come in. Now, if that's in place, how does the business operating model compensate for what we're surfacing to customers, the customer me? And how do employees and their workflows and the tools they use change to make that experience better? And then now leadership's going to get new signals they didn't have before. Are they prepared to make the decisions necessary to make change? And my theory in my book is you can't just address one of those channels. You have to address all three in kind. And when you do, everybody wins and you get better outcomes.
I love this point because one of the things I'm seeing is that I work in digital. I used to be a computer programmer. So for me, like AI is like a natural evolution of my world. And I started my business, my first business, when the internet began, and I helped businesses get on to online marketing, like being in the internet and actually utilizing it in business. I actually got my fellowship because of my work there. But what I find really interesting is that seeing businesses understand AI is not quite there yet. I feel like there's a gap, and I'd love to know your perspective here. People tend to understand generative AI, but then there's no kind of necessarily plan or education around agentic AI. So, what are people's perceptions? Like, do you feel like the business market fully understands AI in its entirety now in 2026?
Oh, you asked a multi-pointed question that's very juicy and good. I love it. So first off, the answer is, does the general business leader understand? No. There's also the unsaid. Are they fearful? Yes. Why? Because the thought leaders and folks are telling them to be scared. By the way, if you've noticed, in the last 2 weeks, that's kind of shifted, hasn't it? Sam Altman came out and said, "Hey, you know, the robot apocalypse and job loss, we were kind of wrong about that one." And others are following the same suit. And why do I bring both of those? If you don't understand something and people you perceive to be leaders in that space are telling you to be scared, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing. And you're going to wait most of the time until something's perfect, easy, snap on to do. And in some places that exists, but we're not quite there yet. And so, what do I do as a business leader? I don't focus on the tech. I'd focus on your business. Work backwards from what your client is facing. What do they, if you did a refined business model, let's say we add personalization. What would delight them if you did it? Why would they care? And how do you know you've made the right changes? I didn't talk about agentic AI, generative AI, machine learning. There's actually over eight different types of AIs, but at that, they're the means to the end. And also, the unlock is not the AI, it's the data that you're capturing. The experience you want to create for the three parties I've talked about, and how you leverage data, these technologies to manifest them. That together is the unlock. And so I hope that answered your question. You know, a lot of folks I talk to are focused on this LLM and that LLM. And the question I ask is, why would you place your company's valuation and your balance sheet on the same technology everybody else around you is using and think that's the difference in your business? The right lens is, in what ways will AI make a demonstrable difference in our business? And if we see that, what are the ways that we have to change to capture the moment? Start with those questions, and it's going to lend a flashlight into where the steps you need to focus on to build the skills you're talking about, become a little knowledgeable, but also have a true north of where you want to go. And I'd say that to a founder, I say it to Fortune 500 CEOs, I say it to the United Nations, all of them. It's the same thing. Does that help?
That is brilliant. I think the thing for me is that across all types of different businesses, people are implementing using AI. I think there's a huge gap of people having the actual protection around how people are using AI in business. If we think about your framework, which is unique to you, and your understanding of how AI is going to be used in the future, what do you predict is going to happen in the next 6 months, if people are not applying a framework like you have to understand how they can use AI in their business?
Yeah, I had the, this is a great question. Someone asked me, 2 decades for now, did we miss the moment? And so I think the answer will be almost. And I think some of the signals I talked to you about, the sentiment change is one. I think the way to think about it is develop your true north of where you're going. And also, it's not going to replace you. This isn't. Forget the robot apocalypse. The Terminator's not showing up delivering your pizza tomorrow. It's just not going to happen. Right? So now we have to say, how do we coexist? What does that look like? Right? And let's dig into that a little deeper. What can the AI do that's better and a better use of it? And what do my employees and me as a leader focus on? Creativity, judgment, adaptability. AI is not going to do this. It doesn't know how to play offense or defense. The leader does, though. And so, what are the ways that you use these things to offload, crunching numbers? Let's like use a tactical example. We all learn calculus in business, but none of us use it because now it's just Excel macros. And it is true. So why not offload the creation of those things and let that get filled in by the AI? Now, the AI is never going to tell you, based on what you now see, what do you need to do as a business? The strategy, the creativity, the adapting to market conditions. That's all where you and I and all of our listeners here need to focus. And offload the stuff that goes and grabs all that and can be better faster and see stuff we can't see and work together. That's really where we want to be. And people are starting to realize that. And having a small focus thing to start and learn from it and build confidence from it and see equally what not to do is the winning path.
What would you say is one core concept that you've written about in your book that might shock business owners that is hiding in plain sight, but they just haven't thought about?
Yeah, I call it the executive lie. I'll walk in, hey Matt, we've got all these frameworks, and we've got these governance teams, and we've got some pilots, and then starting to ask some simple, I call it the simple audit. What outcomes have we seen for our customers, for our employees, and for the business in general? From all the things you just mentioned, and then stop and listen. Don't say a word. And then the things will start to illuminate. If you get silence, you now know why an experiment is still a pilot 18 months later. You don't know where you're trying to go. You don't know the true north. You haven't mapped it to a desired outcome. You haven't figured out how to leverage these things. So that's hiding in plain sight. The tendency, and let's face it, let's take it for what it is. Nobody wants to be the person that, after all the internal debates, the budget allocation, the focus, that we may have built the wrong thing. That's a hard discussion to have. But to your point, it's one I see more often than not hiding in plain sight. And that's one of the first things I ask.
I think it's a great point. I mean, that answer in itself would save businesses millions if people went through the right processes when adopting AI. I think what's interesting is if you were building a business from scratch today, knowing everything that you know about AI, where would you place your bets? Like, what is the number one thing that would accelerate the success of a business from zero to hero?
Oh, I love that question. So let me first say something. There's no better time to be alive than right now. Forget all the noise. Think about what we're finding, because I'm going to paint some opportunity for you. We're finding and identifying some of the maladies that affect mortality. We can now tell when Alzheimer's starts. We're starting to decode some of the things with cancer. We're starting to solve some of the mathematical theorems that have baffled us for decades. Okay. Why do I lead with that? Done well, you can get outsized outcomes. That's the dream. You have to come with your vision of your dream to start going and getting this. So, where would I go if I was this? I'd take a measure of my business and say, look, where do we want to be with our client experience? And what would delight them? Simple, easy, frictionless, across every touch point in their journey with my brand. What does that look like? Because at the end of the day, if you don't delight them, no one slides Venmo, there is no business, right? So that's one. Then the other is then, okay, now we start to see where we need to make some improvement, right? Now that an improvement's not just we launched a mobile app. And then what happens is across that, what do employees need to be empowered to do to ensure they're oriented to deliver on exactly that? Where do they spend their time? What can we offload? All of those things. And then look for management, like management skittish, right? Because this is a hard job. You're really a Formula One driver. You really are, right? You've got to have the, you don't perform, you're off the team. That's just it. That's where skittish comes from. It's understandable. It's high pressure. So what signal out of all of this do we have to do to make the leader confident enough to make the agile, adaptable decisions necessary with the speed of the moment we're in now? So there's not one thing. Gosh, Dawn, there's so many things you could go do. Focus is critical. And that's why I took a little different bent to answer your question.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, what's one thing AI will never replace? Like, this is the question I'm asked all the time.
Judgment. Your corporate governance, what are your true values? We always have to responsible judgment. AI's not going to make the decisions for you. It can illuminate signal, but it's never going to replace you as the business owner's judgment, company values, the way you roll. It doesn't know how, nor will it. And so humans always have to be in the loop. They validate it's getting good data. You validate that what it's producing maps your goals, is ethical, is consistent. You have to be able to audit to ensure that it's doing the right things. AI is not going to do that for itself. You and your team have to go do it. Those are two right off the bat that I can tell you.
So if you think about the human skills, then what is becoming more valuable as AI becomes more powerful?
Well, the creativity, the objectivity, the ability to make decisions, the ability to, okay, I've got these patterns, so now what do I do? Right? If you're still operating your business the way, that's why I'm saying businesses now need the technology needs to adapt to the human, not the other way around. Given limitations of what we've had, the software vendors have a forced workflow and outcomes, and businesses had to accommodate because there was no alternative. That, well, it's a new day today, isn't it? And so, what are the ways, and you as the business owner and your people, the question I had from the outset, in what ways does artificial intelligence impact our business, and are we set up to capitalize on the moment? Again, AI is not going to tell you that. The tools aren't, these tools are going to become like Microsoft Office versus Google Suite. And it's happening, like I said, very, very quickly. So now, how are you transforming your business to run once this stuff's in place to win?
So, if you think about the Billionaire Brain series, we look at how some of the world's most inspiring leaders think, feel, and live differently. And what mindset allowed you to make decisions before, like, certainty kind of came in? So, building something, what do you think was a core belief or mindset that you had to be involved in this billion-dollar category?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question, and it's one I've pondered because I kind of found myself at the table of like three bleeding edge transformations, right? So first off, the perfect plan doesn't exist. It rusts the day you complete it. So I'd rather start with, again, the true north I described. Where do we think we want to go? And get to 70, 80%. And put something out there and get feedback. And I say this to founders and business owners all the time. Let's say it's going to take you 8 to 12 weeks to build the perfect plan, but you know within the first month about 70 to 80%. Well, go out there and start that and use the rest of the time to wash, rinse, and repeat from the feedback you've gotten. That's through what you launch with a deployment of a new tool. Or you launch a new initiative, or the way that you explain to your board, your customers, your contingents, all of it. Listen intently and adapt with speed. The one thing that I will tell everybody right now of why this is different, the number one factor is to reduce the delta between deciding and doing. Those that do that and do that with rigor, speed, process the signals I've told you about and adapt. They're the ones in the 18-month window I described in the outset. They're going to be way out there. And I learned all of that from the combination, of the mashup of Microsoft's thinking and Amazon's thinking, and then creating all this, and then, getting hands-on with startups and enterprises and things over the last 8 years and, my advisory and tuned it to this, and it works.
So, if there was to be one thing that our listeners take from today's conversation all about AI, what would be the one thing that you would want them to remember?
In what ways will it enable the business outcomes your customers desire and you want to achieve, but the ways you operate and the ways you use technology today prevent it. Take that lens and start there and then say, oh, in what ways can these things get me around that? It's a really interesting discussion to have.
Yeah, I love it. So if people are interested, which I'm sure they will, in learning more about AI, where can they get your book and how can they connect with you, Matt?
Oh, hey, thanks. Great question. My book's available where books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, et cetera, and it's expanding worldwide. Where they can speak with me, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I actually read almost pretty much every message. I'm also, and I post 4 times a week, and then I also do keynote speaking around the world. So hopefully you can take in a session.
Yeah,
Those
well, that's
and
where we
then
connected
as
initially.
always, my website, mattdomo.com, I also put long-term tools and things you can use as the business owner to make your own and go make awesome happen.
Oh, great. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. So we connected through LinkedIn, so we did not know each other beforehand. So I love
How
that.
cool is that?
I know. So thank you so much for joining me on the Billionaire Brain. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, everyone, to all our listeners, please share it with another founder or entrepreneur or leader who wants to think bigger, move faster, and stay ahead of the curve. And remember, think better, feel richer, and live happier. So thank you so much for joining us today, Matt. Take care.
And thank you. I enjoyed the opportunity and you made me think, which was fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you.